I believe sometimes Arlene and I have had the opportunity to travel to Tennessee and Virginia. There was a precious sister that went to Bible school with Arlene. Her daughter is getting married, and we were asked to participate in it. And we got to have a bunch of CDs with us, and we listened to them, and they were inspiring. These were messages that were preached in the early days in our church, and they were also preached by many mentors from the old days. And some people don't want to hear the old prophets or the latter rain people, but I'm here today because of them. You know, the Brother McKinnons, the Brother Valories, many others that we've known and heard. We thank God for their lives. Amen. They weren't perfect. And they, believe me, they saw our imperfections too, because we were the youngsters and they were the parent. And but we are thankful. Thank God for David and Carolyn Johnson. David is the big brother I never had. And he inspired me. I sat under his preaching for years. And they were a tremendous blessing. Amen. Those were the days that I did a lot of listening. And that's hard for me because I'm a talker. For 7 years I listened. And the Lord knew when the time for me to speak. And it was actually, that's why I'm thankful for Canada, because I had the opportunity to come to a Bible school. And Sergio had said to me, he said, the only thing you're going to get to teach maybe be the kingdom of God. Because I had had a teaching degree. I was just going over that with Brother Sunil. And there's something that I like as much as prayer. I went into that room to pray, and our brother came in the room, and we hung out for a while, and I appreciated that. I appreciate him. Amen. I've been wanting to get to know him for some time, so praise God. But we bring warm greetings from the United States of America, the land of the free. Amen. And we believe that there's something ready for the spring loose here in Canada. God is doing something in the hidden. My message today is not dealing with all the lies that the media and the devil is bringing. Too many Christians are being contaminated by that. But we're here to talk about the hidden counsels of God, and we're here to talk about how this whole thing's going to end. And if you read the book of Revelation, which the Lord has been giving me, my wife and I have the privilege of teaching on Tuesday nights an international Bible study, and I've been teaching on the Lamb of the book of Revelation, which is mentioned 26 times in the book of Revelation. And if there's ever a time that we should be reading Revelation, it's now. And a lot of people are afraid to read Revelation because they think it's just a book of judgment. But the book of Revelation is actually the greatest worship book. The worship is even beyond what David saw, what David preached about in the book of Psalms. This worship in the book of Revelation is right from the very throne. It wasn't some man just echoing worship. And so we want to talk about the aftermath. And I know I have a degree and I love history. And I know that we've all cut our teeth on various teachings concerning his kingdom. I see history and prophecy running together. And I believe that we need to understand that prophecy is past. We thank God for what he's done in the past, but we don't live there. We don't want to live just in that which is, the devil would love us to put everything in the past and not believe God for anything for the future. But I believe there's a present word from the throne of God. And then I also believe that we're being aligned for that which is coming in the future. And so I want to deal with the hidden counsels of God today. I don't want to even go into the doom and gloom that the media is telling us. And a lot of preachers, there's some prophets in America that aren't buying into it. We need to stay positive in these days. The Bible says the time is coming that the saints will possess the kingdom. And I am still believing in this hour that there will be a people that will possess the kingdom. And I believe that we need to know the hidden counsels of God. And, well, brother, I don't ever hear the hidden counsels of God. Well, you need to open the Bible. It might creak when you open it. There might come a moth that might fly out of it. But God wants you to look right here. You got the same Bible, the hidden counsels of God, the hidden things, that which has been hidden before the world was. God wants you to open that book and pray over it. And the Lord spoke the hidden counsels to the prophet Elisha. Everything that the devil was working for, God spoke to the prophet and informed him on everything. And so we need to start getting our information from the Lord. And need to turn off You got the conservative channel. That's the bad news. And then you got the fake news. I don't want either one. I want the good news. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel means. Amen. So if we could start off in the book of Revelation, chapter 15. Amen. There's a song. And, you know, some of us don't feel we got a great singing voice. And over the years, I've been told, my wife loves to lead worship. She's got a good singing voice. And she tells me over the years, I've been improving. Amen. And I have a couple other people telling me that I've been improving. And so I believe that God, you know, everybody's going to have the same song here. Everybody's going to have the same voice here. It's going to be the voice of the Lamb and the voice of him that speaketh. Amen. And so we're looking at the message today is called the Moses and a Lamb song and anointing. Because with this song comes an anointing. Did you ever find when you're really worshiping God and you're engaged that the anointing comes upon you? Praise God. And I believe that we need, I was just telling Brother Sunil, I said, we need worship and the praising of God. And I've seen over the years a lot of things happen here, Brother Terry, that has impressed me. We've put the hymn books away. We've been getting into various worship songs that God's speaking by the Spirit in these days. And that which was spoken by the Wesleys and all that was of the Spirit. But there's things that are being spoken, and I believe Sister Wendy and the worship team conscientiously looks to the Lord for the songs that should go up there. Amen? And so we need to praise and worship of God. I find praising and worship softens my heart toward him. It puts me in a disposition to hear God's word. It changes my bad attitude. It gives me God. You know, that's what the Beatitudes mean. Be this your attitude. Remember that? God wants our attitudes changed in this day. And that's once in a while. Thank God for marriage, because once in a while you have your wife say, you know, change your attitude, boy. Amen. We need, and you know, being brought up in an Italian home, I can do the same. But God's desire is that we're seeing his viewpoint in these days and not what's being told us by the flesh and by man. Amen. And so we read in Revelation 15. And I want to know about the aftermath. I think of David, who said, Lord, I get all the dealings. I'm going through all of this. Other people seem to be prospering. And David, and he said, I entered the sanctuary of the Lord, and I understood their end. I believe today that God wants us to understand the end. And the end is going to be good for many of us. Amen? And I know we've had, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Job put his faith in the hidden counsels of God. Job did not rely on the past. What he suffered was real. What he was going through was real. And he said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Somehow that man was in tune to the hidden counsels of God. And then at the end of the matter, he said, I used to hear him, but now I see him. And there was something there within him that was not taking his frequency from the devil. He was not taking his frequency from those three comforters. And they say that they call them the three friends of Job. Job's comforters. With friends like that, who needs enemies? And you know, the only time that the comforters were anointed was the first 7 days when they said absolutely nothing. The first 7 days, they absolutely said nothing to Job. And that's when they were the most anointed. And actually, it was the younger man who even came close to the truth. The older ones were just out there somewhere in their own traditions. But I'm glad that he believed in God. And I believe that he knew something of the hidden counsels of God. And he said, even if the canker worms devour my body, I shall see him. He proclaimed it in a day that everything that could go wrong in a person's life went wrong in his life. And so I tell you what we speak is what we'll get. And I believe today God is wanting to speak a creative word into your life. And I'm inspired by Revelation 15 as we read the first four verses. This talks about seven plagues. My God, I don't think the plague we have right now is not one of the seven. This is an introduction. This is what we call an introductory plague. The seven plagues that are in Revelation, this is not one of the seven. The seven are yet to come. And the church has failed the test. And the political systems have failed the test. And every nation has failed the test. But there's one who did not fail the test. There was one who went to the cross for you and me. And he passed the test with flying colors. And my God lives within us. And he is going to help you pass the test in these days. Amen. And so we see in Revelation 15, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. My God, how can plagues be marvelous? Because God is using it to fulfill a purpose. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And there's a lot of teaching today, hyper faith, hyper grace, that denies an angry God that wants nothing to do with a God that punishes, a God that judges. But I believe that we need to embrace all of God, not just part of him. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And that sea of glass is the earth. And that fire is the fire that God will bring on the earth that the book of Peter tells us about. With fervent heat, the earth will pass away. And I remember David Wilkerson, the prophet of God, who said, if the world is waiting for climate change, they're going to get it in the book of Peter. The climate change they've been waiting for is not going to be evolution. The climate change that's taught by the liberals is actually another lane of evolution. And God denies evolution. And so because everything starts and ends with him, everything will be regathered in the Christ. I am thankful for that. Amen. Everything originated is kept by him and will end with him. Praise God. And so we see a sea of glass. And they've gotten victory over the beast. They've gotten victory over the beast. I remember one time I was having wonderful fellowship with a brother. And this fella came in. I had a ride from Reading, Pennsylvania to Canada with this brother. He was a brother. He was lonely and he needed to get away. And we took him with us on this ministry trip. And all they ever talked about was Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. And that's what that means. Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. And all he talked about was the Catholic Church and this one and that one. He comes in, and soon he walked into the room. The anointing broke. This brother and I were having great fellowship. And this brother spoke to him, and he said, "Brother, I believe that Babylon is in between your ears. And we're looking for the beast out there. But you know what? If we don't stay in the spirit, the beast nature walks in us. If you walk in the spirit, and the beast is not just some fellow that's coming. It's another name for the Antichrist. But the beast can be our own flesh. It can be that which is not God's highest and best that we want to embrace. There's things that God won't let you have because it's not time or it's not even his purpose for you to have it. And so there's a victory over the beast in his image. And over the number of his name stands on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways. You King of saints, who shall not fear you? O Lord, and glorify your name, for you are only holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments are made manifested. This is a song that no man can learn by being taught by another man. This is not a song that we can sing because we've had a good voice. And today in the church, we have a lot of good singing, but no worship. A lot of good singing, a lot of good performance. But this is a people that have become victorious. It's a song of victory. I declare to you in the camp of Canada, I declare to you a song of victory. Because we must, church, pass the test because seven plagues are coming that are worse. Not something we have sung about. A lot of people sing about him, but don't know him.